This is the To The Point podcast. Together with our ERISA attorney, we'll explore key Affordable Care Act and trending compliance topics, all in 15 minutes or less. Now here's our host, Sarah Gillespie.
Hello and welcome to our To The Point podcast. My name's Sarah Gillespie and I'm the compliance director at Lipscomb & Pitts. And I have with me Stacey Barrow from Marathas Barrow Weatherhead & Lent. Hey, Stacey.
Hey, Sarah.
So today's episode is involving a topic that we get a lot of questions on. It has to do with qualifying life events and when an employee can drop their coverage, change their coverage, add a dependent, add their own new coverage if they'd previously waived. And so we wanted to go through some various scenarios. But first, I wanted to explain a little bit about what a qualifying life event is. So this conversation is going to relate to employers that use a Section 125 plan, under which they are allowing employees to contribute to their premium pre-tax. So that is governed by the IRS and IRS rules. And so the reason that there are different situations that are allowed and only within these situations that employees are allowed to make changes has everything to do with that. So, pre-tax elections made through a Section 125 plan are irrevocable and cannot be changed except for a reason that's permitted under the code. However, what the code indicates, although the code indicates what's permitted, it doesn't necessarily indicate what is required for that particular plan. So the cafeteria plan document is going to be the ultimate source to determine whether a particular status is recognized under your employer's plan. So, Stacey, can you help us understand what would be some of these permitted election changes, general categories?
Sure. And just to kind of reiterate a couple of points that you made, when employees pay for their benefits on a pre-tax basis, their election, either to participate or not to participate, is locked in for the entire plan year unless they have a change in status event. And those are some of the simple ones, like maybe they haven't enrolled in the plan, but they've experienced the birth of a child, or they've gotten married, or they're adopting a child, and you know the new spouse says it's time to enroll in a health plan, and so the employee then wants to enroll his family mid-year. Those are HIPAA special enrollment events. A lot of times the events may even overlap into more than one category. You can have a special enrollment event that's also a change in status event. And the rules can be fairly complex, but you know, obviously for some of the more straightforward ones, it's just a matter of has the employee notified us within the time frame set forth in the cafeteria plan that he or she has gotten married, had a child, maybe the spouse has lost coverage under her employer's plan, maybe it's the spouse's open enrollment and she's decided to come off of her employer's plan, she wants to enroll in your company's plan. These are all examples of permitted events. And then sometimes there'll be other types of events, like when employers make significant changes mid-year to plans, maybe adding a new benefit option, significant premium increases or decreases, employees becoming entitled to Medicare or Medicaid. They may want to drop coverage, take Medicare in lieu of the group health plan. That is another event that would permit a change. And with all these, in large part, there's some exceptions for the HIPAA events, but one of the important general rules to be aware of is the consistency rule. And whenever you have an employee who wants to make a change to a pre-tax election, and you think it's the type of event that is permissible, maybe the employee's gotten married, that's a HIPAA special enrollment event, and the employee says, I want to drop coverage. That would not be consistent with the event of getting married unless the employee, of course, is enrolling in a spouse's plan. So you need to make sure that the event or the requested change is consistent with the event. In other words, it is because of and on account of that event. So again, something like an employee getting a divorce and the spouse is going to come off the plan and the employee says, well, I want to drop my kid now and I want to go down to individual coverage. That's not consistent with the event unless the child is going to become enrolled in the spouse's plan. Those are just some examples of the consistency rule. And then one other point that Sarah made that I want to, again, just reiterate is that all of these election change rules are permissive and they're not mandatory. Most Section 125 plans will allow all of the permitted events, but you really do have to make sure that your plan has been drafted to be as permissible as possible if that's how you're trying to operate it. Most of these rules have not changed in many years, except there were two new change of status events added in 2014. So if you really want to, you know, be as permissive as possible, you want to make sure your plan's been updated within the last few years to incorporate all of the change in status events.
And so this question may have to do with the consistency rule, but under which status change scenarios would an employee be allowed to elect a different plan and not just, say, add, drop, change their coverage? So, you know, for instance, they've got a base and a buyout plan, or they have two or three medical plan options. When would there be a status change event that it would allow them to elect a different plan?
So the HIPAA special enrollment events, those are kind of like a trump card in a way where they apply to all of the group health plans available under the plan. So if I'm in the HMO, say a lower cost option, and I get married and the wife says, you know, we need a better plan now, we want to go to the buy-up plan or I want to go to a PPO, they have the right under HIPAA to enroll in that PPO. So they can change plans for that kind of event, marriage, birth of a child, that kind of thing. Trying to think of an example, loss of coverage under another employer's plan, you know, that also would permit a change in benefit option. Maybe an example of one where you couldn't change benefit options, at least for someone enrolled in the option, is if an employer had a premium reduction under one particular benefit option. Anyone who's already in that plan wouldn't be able to use that as a reason to switch into a more expensive plan, because that wouldn't be consistent with the event. It might just allow people to enroll in that plan.
Okay, I have a couple of questions, different scenarios that I want to run by you. And many of these, well, there's not too many questions, but they have come up recently from LMP clients. And so the first one has to do with the consistency rule, where an employer is confused on how to track with that rule. And so the specific example is an employee has employee-only coverage and the employee has a child who's covered elsewhere, but the employee gets married and wants to add the new spouse. Can the employee add the existing child at the same time?
Yeah, they should be able to. They're always very fact specific, and it can depend on the terms of the plan and, you know, what the employee represented at the time of initial enrollment. But general rule in that case is, yes, the employee can add the existing child at that time.
Even though the child has nothing to do with the actual status event.
Right.
Okay. All right. So another one, returning from FMLA or maternity, this particular question said returning from FMLA or maternity leave, is this a qualifying event that would allow the employee to make election change when they come back to work? So I would kind of think, well, if it's maternity leave related, perhaps the birth of the child could be also the event. But for this example, let's just say someone returns from leave. Is that a qualifying event?
So anyone goes out on FMLA, if FMLA is paid for any reason, then it's not a change in status event and the election continues as is. There's no ability to stop your election when you're on paid FMLA. If FMLA is unpaid, then that is a change in status event. You can revoke your election during FMLA, or you can continue it. And then upon return, you may be eligible to make a new election. It depends on the terms of the plan, but some plans would allow you to say, upon return, maybe you want to go into the HMO instead of the PPO. Some plans would just require you to reinstate your election for the remainder of the plan year. That's more of a plan design feature, but that is usually how it works for a return of unpaid leave. The employee can basically re-enroll in the plan, and then it's up to the plan as to whether he can change to a different benefit option or if his election is going to be reinstated basically as is.
Okay, but it sounds like the key is unpaid leave.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, paid FMLA, no election change event has occurred.
And so then another question has to do with pay, but in regards to a pay cut. So if an employee receives a pay cut, not a reduction in hours, but a pay cut, or for instance, the company has to go through, several employees with pay cuts, is that an opportunity for an employee to change their election?
Unfortunately not. By itself, a reduction in salary or pay is not a change in status event. It would have to be coupled with something like a reduction in hours that changes eligibility, results in a loss of eligibility. And then obviously, that would be a COBRA event and the employee would be able to change the election to drop coverage.
Okay. I think that's what I had understood as well. So the last point I want to talk about is Section 125 plan rules as per an employer's cafeteria plan versus the carrier's eligibility rules. So I think recently we had something come up where it was written into the employer's Section 125 plan that they could do something. However, the carrier did not want to allow it. So does the carrier's decision trump the Section 125 plan that the employer has?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the employer has to follow the terms of the plan. And if the carrier is saying that there's what you're trying to do does not work under the terms of the plan, of the health plan, the Section 125 plan does not supersede that. I mean, the carrier could have an avenue for denying the claim. It could result in exposure to the employer. So you would need the carrier buy-on if you're going to open the plan up mid-year to new enrollees because you feel there's been a significant premium decrease. Even if that's true, you still would need the carrier sign off.
Okay, thanks for explaining that. So basically, there are four main points or questions that an employer would want to ask themselves when they've got an employee who wants to make a mid-year change. So first, is the election change permissible under Section 125 rules? Second, is the change consistent with the event that took place? Third, does that particular Section 125 plan that the employer has include the event in the plan document? And then last, would it be in alignment with what the carrier would allow, the carrier's eligibility rules? So if you have any questions on qualifying life events, something that we didn't cover, something that you'd like me to ask to Stacy about further, we'd be happy to do that for you. You can email me, Sarah G, S-A-R-A-H-G at lpinsurance.com. But thanks so much for listening to this podcast related to qualifying life events. Please join us for our other podcast topics. And as always, thank you, Stacy. We really appreciate your input and information.
Thanks, Sarah.